Well, welcome everyone out to the services this evening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity, and like to welcome the guests that have took the wrong turn somewhere. Usually the only way you really end up in happy is you took the wrong turn, or you think, where did I go wrong here? And which kind of goes into, again, if you had a chance to look at the bulletin this morning and what Rick had, and I thought, well, I don't know if I was piggybacking his thoughts or he was looking ahead of what I might be was going to talk about, was perspective, and which I guess is one word you could put onto it, or, you know, the way we look at the world today. And and we're going to just start turning over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and look at the first two verses there and just kind of dissect or delve into it a little bit more and break it apart and to see. And it's kind of like, I know Tim over, you know, on Sunday mornings over the last year or two, you know, we read over it and, you know, and it's like, okay, we get a gist, we get the idea of the verse, or, you know, or we think we do, because, you know, we just read it enough times and it's like, oh, okay. And, but if you really take the time to look at it, and, you know, and the first thing when I was studying this, you know, you read it, and it's like, oh, the sin that entangles us, and we're going to look at that here in just a second, but it's one of those things, it's not only the sin, but everything else in the world that can distract us from following what we need to be following, or looking at the true side or the true meaning of what we need to be doing as a Christian, and that is the perspective. What perspective do we look at the scriptures? What perspective do we look at the troubles in the world of our daily life? And that's something we're gonna kind of look at and study it for a little bit this evening, and hopefully bring something to your attention that will cause you to study a little bit more, or to look in and read and study more in the future than we have in the past. But in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we're going to just read the first two verses and kind of look at it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And, you know, and I don't know how many times that I've read that, and, you know, and it just kind of gets get a point across, or, you know, tie it in with something else, or finish out the chapter and to look at it. And it's, but there's so much still in just these two verses that we can go back and we can see, you know, other writers of the Gospels of the New Testament, of how, you know, it ties everything together. It's the same as in the past. Is it going to be in the future? Christ is, and God's going to be the same in the past as he is in the future as of today. And yet, we just skim over it. We look at it and we read it and we move on. But and the first part that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, is everything that hinders. And, you know, and it's not like, okay, the sin is what hinders. But, you know, there's a break of the word "and." And, you know, and sin is separate. It's something that we know is wrong, is the sin, but it's the daily struggles, the daily walk that kind of, you know, can hinder us. If we let the important things in our life distract us from our goal, our perspective of, you know, why are we here? And, you know, why we're here is not to see how big our bank account is, or, you know, to get to the next day. It's the how can we serve Christ? How can we serve God? And that's one of those things, the good stuff, if we get it out of kilter, out of perspective, it can hinder us. It can distract us. It can pull us away from the true purpose of being a Christian. And then, after the end, and the sin that so easily entangles us. And we can see, you know, sin around every corner, around every nook and cranny. There's a distraction that we know is wrong. And we can look here, you know, we can kind of go back in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And, you know, he had already kind of alluded to this. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And here, this is where, you know, we have to study, we have to know the truth, and the only way to do that is to read, to read and study and to know what sin is and what the truth is. And once we know that, once we understand what sin is, we have to remove that from our lives. We have to put that, you know, out of our equation of serving Christ, because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God, and you can't serve the devil at the same time. And that's something that it's completely separate than something that can hinder us, you know, good or bad. You know, then you have the obvious, the sin, the stuff that we know is wrong, that we've been told is wrong. And then we can't be surprised that it's like, oh, I didn't realize that was going to pull me away from Christ. It was going to drag me down a road that's going to cause more and more trouble in the future. And we can't come back and say, well, we didn't know that. We didn't realize that. But the truth is that sin is something that the devil puts out in front of us that we know is wrong, and yet we still want to go out and do it and get into more trouble. And then again, we can continue reading. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And, you know, and it kind of, the word that kind of struck me was run. This is something that it's going to be a struggle. It's not like, well, just take a leisurely stroll to be a Christian. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. And it's something that's going to take, you know, something that we're going to have that reward for. And that's when you run a race, you run to win. And this is something that Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And you can turn over in 1 Corinthians, the 9th. And begin reading in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And we understand that the crown that lasts forever is at home in heaven. We realize what we are, our purpose here on earth is, as a Christian, is to go for that prize and to be focused on that. And not let everything, you know, entangle us, drag us away, distract us from that winning that prize to have that home in heaven. But yet, how many times do we take the same effort and the same dedication that, you know, an athlete that goes out and practices? You know, they might practice 3-4 hours a day, you know, when you start off in school, to get ready for a basketball game or to get ready for the football team, you know, and it turns into 5 or 6 hours, you know, there at the end of the, you know, when you go to the next level, or, you know, once you have 2-a-days, there's going to take some time and effort on our part to do that. Do we have a little bit of that perspective, a little bit of that same dedication to study the Word, to read, and to realize, you know, what is our goal? And, you know, and we're not, you know, and I hope, you know, if you're in sports or you're in any other activities, that your goal is not just to show up and warm a bench. And it's the same as a Christian. Our goal is not to sit here and warm a pew. It is to actually apply ourselves in the future around our family, around our friends, out into the world, to spread the truth. And that's something, you know, when we come prepared, are we actually prepared to do the next step, to go to that next level? And, you know, and that's where it takes perseverance. And again, in, he talks about it there in Hebrews. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And we can see that, just flip back a page or two in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Again, in verse 26. No, that was in verse 36. Let's go ahead and pick up in verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need the perseverance so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And this is something that we understand, that God has promised us that home in heaven. And we know that He is faithful. Are we as faithful to receive that promise as He is to us to offer it? And it's up to us, you know, and it's not going to be a sprint. It's not going to show up one day for practice and you're going to be a state champion the next day. It's going to take time. It's going to take some effort. And it's going to take perseverance. And, you know, it's something that, you know, you can see here just in the few verses that we're going to read tonight. Perseverance is something that, you know, is talked about. It's not just a once and done mention of the word, but it's going to take some effort. And hopefully as Christians, we understand that, and we realize that it's going to take more than 20 minutes a week or 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes a month to understand and to read and to understand the Bible and what we need to do as Christians. And that's something where it's going to be, you know, it's going to take some effort on our parts, and it's not just, sitting here and let it absorb into us. You know, we've got to actually apply ourselves. And the next part of it is let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we realize Jesus is the one constant. We're the one that's going to change. It's going to be, is our perspective going to change? Do we realize, as Rick had in the article this morning, that, you know, everything around stayed the same, but her perspective changed. Her ideas changed on why she was, and she applied herself. And, you know, and we can apply ourselves. We can fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, Jesus is already here in everything around us. We can see, you know, in the landscape, in the community, in the people around us. They're going to be there. But is our perspective on how do we need to talk to them, to do that, to talk to Jesus, to talk about Jesus to those people? And that's where our perspective is. You know, are we willing to change to realize that? And, you know, and then He's the true author and perfecter of our faith. That, you know, we don't have to, you know, God's not going to change. It's going to be us that has to change to accept the Word and to do what we find in this, in the Scriptures. We have to apply ourselves because it's already perfect. We're the ones that's flawed. We're the ones that's going to have to change to realize what we as Christians are here for. And then the joy. And, you know, and then it talks about there in verse 2, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And there is, you know, where Rick finished it this morning. You know, let's turn over to Philippians 4 and verse 4. And that's one of those things that as Christians, do we show that joy? Do we live that joy for others to see us? And then it's one of those things, you know, if one perspective to look at it is, you know, to smile and to, you know, make the people ask questions. Why are we smiling? You know, what do we know that they don't know if they're not smiling? But look in Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here you could look at this, you know, two verses, three verses, And you could do another, you know, lesson or two or three lessons, you know, of perspective. Do we have the perspective? Do we pray about everything? You know, is that where we need to start at? Or do we just kind of go in, eyes closed and head down and bulldoze into a problem? Or do we step back and do we pray about it? Do we realize what we need? Where do we need to start at? And that's usually the easiest and the best way to start at is to step back into prayer, to have a prayer, to realize where do we need to start at. But again, and you know, as Rick had in the bulletin this morning, rejoice. And we need to have that joy. And we need to have that to spread and let it be contagious. And, you know, and have people realize, you know, the prize that we are going for, what we are studying for and reading for and hopefully talking to others about is the joy of Christ, to have that home in heaven. And that's something, you know, that's what the ultimate prize is. But back here in Hebrews, you know, we have the author, we have the perfecter, we need the joy. And you think, you know, and then you can sit there and you look, you know, how bad of a day that we've had or, you know, how bad of a situation we might be in, but put it in perspective. Are we willing to die on the cross? You know, one of the most horrendous ways to die for others. And this is what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. And, you know, we'll look up back in the Philippians, the second chapter, we can see, you know, here's Paul writing to the church here in Philippians. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that's something, as a Christian, are we willing to go to that length? And that's something that hopefully we'll never have to answer. But Christ did. He already gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we can see the perfect person that he was. He died the worst ways that you could die. And yet he did it for us. So, you know, in perspective, when, you know, when we have a bad day, you know, we're having a bad situation, you know, it's like everybody always said, it could have been worse. And Christ did as bad as you could go. He died. He endured the cross for the death for us. And that's something that hopefully we will never have to have that problem and go through that. But yet, do we keep that in perspective? And last but not least, you know, that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is the ultimate prize, to have that right hand of the throne of God, to be with him in heaven. To look back and to realize all the pain, all the suffering was nothing compared to the prize that we've received. And it's kind of like, you know, if you ask somebody that's won a state championship, I think, you know, they won't remember the two-a-days in August when it was 100 degrees or all the wind sprints in basketball on the court, you know, to win the basketball or all the other pain and all the other sacrifices that they did to win that, you know, prize. They will probably sit there and get rusty, get tarnished, you know, in the future. But when we have the ultimate prize to have that home in heaven, and again, let's you know, put it back in Paul's perspective in Philippians the third chapter, and let's begin in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And it's something, you know, everything that, you know, was done in August for two-a-days and everything else that we've done and we've gone through, you know, in our jobs, you know, today, we're going to forget about all the pain, all the suffering, all the sacrifice when we have that prize. And the ultimate prize that we can have is to have that home in heaven. And that's something that, you know, Paul talks about. it's not going to be an easy stretch. You know, he's straining. He's, you know, it talks about strained toward. It's not going to be just a walk in the park on a perfect day of 68 degrees with a light, gentle breeze and a little bit of mist that's always going to be perfect. There's going to be potholes. There's going to be things run across in front of you that's going to trip you up, that's going to entangle us. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ, be focused on that prize. And hopefully I brought something to your attention this evening that you might have, you know, like everything else that I usually do, you kind of read over it and you don't realize what's there until you take time to sit back and to read it and to really analyze it and to look at it. But if there's any in the audience that feels that they've maybe been tangled up and you know, been distracted from their true meaning or their true cause, or if they're ready to take that step to be baptized, come forward as we stand and sing.